We're reading this morning, beginning the book of Malachi. We have come to the last of our books of the minor prophets, and we will be looking in the next weeks at the four chapters here. But this morning, in this first chapter, we are introduced to a fellow by the name of Malachi. His name, ironically, means my messenger. Some have suggested that's not really his name, but that is his role. I think it is probably both. So often in Scripture, a person's name, a prophet's name, or an individual's name speaks about their calling in Jesus Christ. And so Malachi is my messenger, God's messenger. He is the last of the writing prophets. He writes, however, nothing about himself. We have no idea where he comes from. We have only the hint of what time he writes in, because what he addresses as the sins of Judah are the very same things that Nehemiah deals with in his book. So we make that assumption that they are contemporaries. Nehemiah leading the people in the building of the wall and restoring them again to covenant faithfulness. Malachi right alongside him speaking and writing. He is the last prophet that God's people hear until John the Baptist arrives some 400 years later. In fact, we'll see in the third chapter when we get there, the promise of God, "Behold, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me." The gospel writers tell us that that prophecy was fulfilled in John the Baptist. Malachi does something unusual. He goes back over the other prophets and he takes a strand here and a strand there, a strand of hope, a strand of promise, and he weaves them together to describe the coming messianic age, the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And he speaks of the new order of things that the Messiah will bring. He begins by setting the Lord's love, the love that the Lord has declared against Israel's, well, skepticism. They ask, "How have you loved us?" The proof of the Lord's love is seen in his ancient choice, the prophet says, choosing Jacob over Esau. Then he turns to the sins of the priests. The priests were going through the motions. They were dishonoring God by offering what were considered polluted sacrifices. They showed great insensitiveness to the greatness and the majesty of God. They pretend to worship God, and all the while they despise him. And so Malachi's message is directed against the sins of God's people. It's a message that you and I need to hear today. The sins of Christians can be even more heinous in the sight of God than the sins of pagans, because after all, they are the offense of a child against its father. I'm going to read that whole chapter, first chapter of Malachi. Hear now the word of the Lord. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. "I have loved you," says the Lord. "But you say, how have you loved me? Is not Esau Jacob's brother?" declares the Lord. "Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, 'We are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins,' the Lord of hosts says, 'They may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, Great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear?" says the Lord of hosts to you. "O priests who despise my name, but you say, 'How have we despised your name?' By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, 'How have we polluted you?' By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor, Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that that were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, oh, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. The reminder to us that God sees as we come to worship. And what do we bring with us? Do we come out of habit or because we're afraid somebody will criticize us for staying home? Do we come because we desire to be in God's presence? Do we offer him the best that we have, the best of our time and our energy, our resources? Do we offer him the best of our praise? God calls us to come, for he is the King of the nations, and he will be honored. He will be worshiped. He will be praised.